Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
This week, we're going to talk about grip pressure. There's a lot of stuff out there about it. How tightly do you need to squeeze the club or hold the club? Where does the tension go? Where does the tension end? When do you apply some pressure? When do you don't? When do you don't? When do you not apply pressure? All kinds of stuff. So, Jason.
Yeah.
How tightly do you squeeze the club?
Well, this is a great question because it does differ from person to person. Obviously, we're going to dive in a little bit more into like grip strength, but we all know as coaches, we've heard that, you know, you're supposed to hold the club like it's a baby bird. And then somebody interviewed, I can't remember the other pro that they interviewed him, and they said, hey, Ben Hogan said that you're supposed to hold it like a baby bird. And he goes, oh, absolutely. It's a bird for sure, but it's a falcon and it's trying to gouge your eyeballs out.
I think it was Sam Snead.
Yeah. And it's so true. I mean, from what one person feels like they're holding onto the club to the next can be drastically different. However, we do have some pretty cool tech that's coming out lately that shows what actually the pros are doing versus what AMs are doing. So what I would say is, again, in a little bit, it does depend, but you guys are going to hear soon how drastically different that, you know, the pros versus AMs do hold onto that club.
And I think it's, again, going back to the concept, you hear, you know, hold it like a baby bird has been said how many times to golfers around the world, right? And people will buy into what they hear and they actually will go out and start to do that. So the concept of holding like a baby bird, I think, has probably confused a lot of golfers. And they might look at somebody like Ernie Els, the Big Easy, and he makes it look so easy. He's not gripping at all, and Ernie is squeezing the daylights out of that grip, right? So,
yeah, and we have data from tour players and amateurs as far as how much they can squeeze a dynamometer to measure their grip strength. And in general, tour players are capable of squeezing a dynamometer much more firmly or generating higher numbers than an average adult male. Some numbers, a male tour player, so PGA Tour player, Korn Ferry Tour player, something, combined average of about 133 pounds. Lead hand, 136, trail hand, 130. Male long drive competitors, lead hand, 185, trail hand, 179, average of 182 and a half or so. Amateur males, right? So guys that play golf, but they're just regular guys, 93.1. And again, tour players were 133.1. So, you know, it's around 40% because it's a little bit higher than 40%. We have female numbers, but they're obviously lower even for LPGA Tour players and amateur women. Grip strength for an average male that's 40 years old is about 136. So that's top 10%. An average is in the 96 pounds range. So that lines up with kind of the average amateur male, 93. How important is it we have to be able to squeeze a dynamometer hard? We know the grip is being pulled on by the club at certain points in the swing.
Yeah, I think, first off, I think it's incredible how much stronger the long drive guys are, right? Like, just their ability to squeeze that dynamometer is crazy to me how much stronger they are. You know, to your point, how important is it?
It's weightlifter level, to be clear.
That's insane to me how much stronger they are, right? But like, to your point of how important is it to be able to squeeze that for somebody to play better golf? I think the hardest part right now, when you start to look at all of the data and you start to look at the experts out there, there's almost sort of some conflicting ideas, even from these experts, right? Of how important is it?
So we have quotes from two experts in the field. Jason, Dr. Tyler Staniford, he consults with SuperSpeed. He had a quote that he sent us about this. SuperSpeed has a product called the SuperSpeed Squeeze, which is basically a rubber cylinder that kind of goes over your grip to make the grip bigger, to make you have to squeeze it harder because it's going to feel like it's going to fall out of your hands, or, you know, you have to squeeze the grip and the thing to hold it all together. He had a quote. Did you have anything from that quote that you wanted to read here?
To be honest with you, I've read that. I can't remember when I read it originally, but it was basically like, the amount of pressure, so that you imagine you're spinning something around your body, you're going to be limited by how much you can hold on to the mass of that, so the mass of the club. If you can't keep that from pulling away from you, you are going to be able to swing any faster. So the more that you can train yourself to hold on to that club, and I hold it stronger at certain points of the swing, you're going to be able to swing faster. Now, if we can solely go, hey, well, what's the most issue with, let's say, the average golfer is they can't hit it far enough. They can't hit far enough. They can't reach par fives and two. They can't reach some long par fours. So if they can hit the ball further, we know through strokes gains, if you can hit the ball further and in play, you're going to benefit. Your scores are going to drop. So is it important to me? Absolutely. And, you know, before we started, you know, reading to this stuff, obviously I'm big into Mike Carroll's Fit for Golf stuff, going to get your body ready to golf. This is a huge thing for a lot of golfers. If you want to learn how to hit the ball further, if your grip strength is not enough, you need to improve that. If you can't hold on to the club, you can't swing it any faster.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a bit. So Tyson, did you have anything that stuck out from what he had said?
Something that stands out to me, and I think this is like, I think it can make sense to people, you know, as he's talking about the grip strength needs to be trained specifically. Like that's his sort of take on this, right? And he says, he sort of compares it to if you go to the gym and you do a bent over row, it is also, yes, that's sort of targeting your back, right? But it's also going to affect your biceps. But if you actually want to make your biceps bigger, then you're going to do a curl. You're going to target those specifically. And so what he's saying is, if you want to actually increase your grip strength, you got to target your grip, which is what that cylinder that Super Speed came out with sort of targets, right? And so that obviously makes sense to me, just as an individual, that sort of analogy can make sense. Once again, how important is that to then the overall being able to swing it faster? To, you know, Jason's point, we got to make our whole body stronger and faster and those fast twitch muscles. Is that grip strength by itself going to do that? Obviously, Dr. Tyler Sanderford believes, you know, pretty strongly that it will.
Right. And there's Super Speed site has studies out there that link some things. I won't say correlate, because correlation doesn't necessarily mean they're correlated, I should say. But correlation doesn't necessarily mean causation. And we'll get into another point of view on that. But generally speaking, tour players have stronger grips. That's a pretty well-established fact, I would call it. Tour players swing faster than amateurs, and thus tour players do put more force into the club and into the grip, because that's the only place we can apply force to the grip as a human being. That's the only part we're holding on to. So tour players definitely do all of those things. They have stronger grips, physically stronger, not, you know, turned clockwise and counterclockwise, of course, and they put a lot more force into the club, so they swing the club faster, so they need, quote unquote, need a stronger grip pressure. How many of them are exceeding that, right? So if they're at 133 on average and the average amateur is at 93 on average, and they say they grip it at 3 out of 10, that might be almost an amateur's 8 out of 10. Stuff
that's
is
right.
An exponential and things like that too. So like when a tour player says, I grip it at 3 out of 10, because let's assume it's not linear. If you grip a dynamometer half of your regular strength, it might feel like a 2 out of 10 to you.
Yeah.
Even though you're able to generate half of your maximum. It's not a linear scale. So what they're saying might be true to them. I think we can agree on that. They might be saying,
sure,
I grip it at 3 out of 10, and that might be their experience, but it just falls into feel ain't real.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so there are players, even people like us, right, who can squeeze a dynamometer about as strong or stronger than a tour player average. We don't necessarily swing as fast as they do. So the correlation can break down a little bit. Weightlifters, we've certainly all taught very strong people, weightlifters, who can't hit it out of their shadow.
Absolutely.
Whether you want to call them some muscle-bound guys or otherwise very physically strong people who can't swing fast, because strength and speed aren't the same thing.
I would say the golf swing is almost like, especially speed in the golf swing, is you need to find your weakest link. What is the chink in your armor? And it might be grip strength. It might be just overall strength. It might be fast twitch fibers. It might be technique, right? Or just your overall, what you're trying to do to the club. The amount of times I've had people come in here and there's like, oh yeah, I hit it nowhere. I'm like, okay, well, can you swing it faster? And they're like, yeah, but I probably hit it worse. You're like, yeah, I know, it's sure, it's cool, cool, cool. Just try and hit it some other. And after 20, 30 swings, all of a sudden they've gained 10, 15 miles per hour of clubhead speed, and they're hitting it just as straight as they were before. And they're like, wow, I just never thought that I could swing that fast. It's like, okay, so you can, and you can just see it. You just need to just trust it on the golf course. And there was no weak link there. It was just inside the mind. But then you go back to other people, you got to find out where your weakest link is. I mean, it might be the grip for some people.
Are you looking to enhance your golf swing with precision and consistency? The HackMotion Golf Swing Analyzer is your personal coach, offering real-time feedback on wrist positions throughout your swing. By pinpointing common faults like casting and flipping, HackMotion provides tailored drills to help you perfect your technique. Its user-friendly app, paired with the cutting-edge lightweight sensor, delivers instant data, allowing you to make adjustments on the spot. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned golfer, HackMotion is designed to elevate your game. Experience the difference and take control of your swing today. SpinAxis listeners can save 5% with the coupon code SPINAXIS at checkout. Visit HackMotion at hackmotion.com. Dr. Tyler Sanford is obviously a well-respected biomechanist who is definitely on the side of improving grip strength can improve clubhead speed. And certainly also, I think he would agree that if you just do speed training, your grip strength will tend to improve as well, because you are working out the grip muscles. You're swinging a weighted club or stick at higher speeds. It's pulling on you harder. You're training yourself. You're working out, basically.
Absolutely.
To move that. Dr. Sasha McKenzie has some other quotes, and he also makes a speed training product. He does not make a cylinder that you put over your grip, but he makes a weighted stick that you swing. And he says, and these are all direct quotes, I'm not going to quote everything he said, but these are direct quotes, "I don't think grip strength, as measured by squeezing something, is important in golf." So fairly direct,
yeah,
and contradictory to what Dr. Sanford said. "I see people get a lot faster without any change in grip strength. Any low to moderate correlation between grip squeeze strength and clubhead speed is not causal. I've measured juniors with 120 miles per hour clubhead speed that couldn't squeeze the juice out of a lemon." And then he mentioned, like,
love
the,
that quote.
Then he mentioned the, I have a picture called Loose Trail Grips of Phil Mickelson, Freddie Couples, and Vijay Singh, where their trail hand is barely on the club.
It's incredible.
At impact. It's true that the club is pulling with over 100 pounds of force at certain parts of the swing, whether that's a, you know, your driver doesn't weigh as much, but you're swinging that at 120 plus miles an hour and it weighs something, and speed is more important in generating that force than the weight. But even swinging a 4-iron or a 7-iron at 95 miles an hour or 104 miles per hour can generate a lot of pulling force. We've all taught lessons where we take the club from the student or something like that, and the grip feels like it's concrete.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Or like a tile floor or something.
Yes.
You're like, okay. In those cases, I think their grip tackiness or age is a limiting factor in how fast they can swing the club, because it would literally fly out of my hands, I think, if I swung that club at my normal speed.
Yeah.
That said, I think that people underrate how important the tackiness of a grip is in how lightly you can hold a club and still swing it fast. Even if it's generating 100 pounds of force, it's momentary.
Yeah.
I would probably say I fall on the side of that you don't need high grip strength to swing fast. But I do think there's a correlation there that it's, again, not causal. You guys, what are your takes on that?
I would agree, you know, and I think all three of us, right, we use force plates, and obviously the force plates today, they measure pressure and they measure force, not the same thing per se, right? And so, you know, Dr. Sasha McKenzie, talked to him times, and I know, Eric, you've talked to him way more than I have, but about the force couple and the net force, you know, and sort of that's what's making the club sort of do what it does. That's very different than pressure. I don't think that training your grip strength is ever going to be a bad thing. I don't think that would ever be a bad thing for somebody, but I don't also,
I agree.
I don't think it's necessary to be able to swing fast. I think there's just, we don't have enough data out there yet. Cause you know, an instrumented grip is what we're after. There's just, there's not as many swings on an instrumented grip as there is on a TrackMan or on a Force Plate yet, because they're hard to get, right? And so the more we have access to it, I think guys that are really smart, like Dr. Staniford and Sasho and a lot of great coaches out there, the better the information we'll have on saying, this does help, this doesn't help.
Yeah. You know, the, was it Sensor Edge?
Yes.
I think is the grip that's I think that's out now, if I remember right, but
it
it's just new, right? I watched a bunch of those videos, and the guy's Swedish, very broken English, and it's like trying to get through to him. And
yes,
he was on Be Better, I think it was. And there, and he was directly, he's like, okay, but how should my pressure be inside the handle? He goes, well, it's different. And it's perfect, right? It's like every golf coach. Well, it depends. You know what I mean? You know, what you need versus what the other person, what kind of shot shape they're trying to hit, it all depends on that. And they're still gathering data, obviously, on that. But just like the golf swing, the setup, there are some things that we would like to see, because 95% of all the best golfers in the world mostly swing a couple things the same like this. And one of them is the amount of grip pressure at their dress position. And then how much pressure in the lead hand to the trail hand. When he got a lot of amateurs on his grip sensor, it's like, okay, pros are, you know, X amount stronger at their dress. And then they actually weaken a little bit, or not ease the grip tension as they're getting up to the top. And then it goes into the transition, and then it spikes as they come down, and then they ease off again. And what are the amateurs? Of course, the complete opposite. So we've got like this, okay, well, is grip tension, grip pressure super important? Well, like Eric said, if you feel like you have to squeeze the crap out of it at the beginning, well, maybe because you don't have the strength later to do it. So then you're trying to put it in at the wrong time. It's hard to say right now because we don't quite have all the information, but we're getting there. And it's definitely a cool topic to cover. And I would say,
so you would say the commonalities of what we have been able to measure among tour players versus amateurs. Amateurs grip the club more lightly at setup.
Correct.
Than tour players, who grip it fairly, you know, 40% of their maximum grip strength kind of at setup, and maintain a more consistent grip pressure throughout. It doesn't mean it is consistent, just that it's more consistent throughout the swing than amateurs, who will often clench down near the top of the backswing and be firmer throughout the downswing than tour players, who will clamp down a little bit at different parts of the swing, but start and maintain an overall higher level of grip strength throughout.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And so when the club is moving fast and when it's changing direction, we tend to see, for tour players, little bumps in their grip pressure, right? So the change of direction at the top, you tend to see a little bit of a bump in the increase in grip pressure, because we're trying to stop the club from going in one direction. To do that, we're applying force in the other direction to slow it down and change the direction. And then right when we start to quote-unquote release the club, tour players tend to have a little bit more pressure. Now, whether that's them putting pressure on the club or the club putting pressure on them is not necessarily something that we know for sure, because both things can happen. Were there any other commonalities that you thought were worth mentioning or that we could talk about, Tyson?
I think the big one, right, and when we talk about all this, I think the majority of that is the lead hand, right? The lead hand is applying most of the pressure. And like you said, we as coaches, when you see that high handicap player, you can visibly see at the top when they clench down on that handle, when they haven't had grip pressure and then they clench down, that's almost 100% of the time always a steepener, right? That club gets steeper because of that clench. Then the rest is history. So I think it's important for people to understand pros are doing most of that with the lead hand.
Yeah. I had a lesson the other day with one of my students, and it was, you know, swinging up to the top. You could see the little bit almost daylight between the hand and the grip because the right hand wasn't supporting. Again, what does the trail hand do for most golfers? It is a support role. It is holding onto that club, the proper amount of tension, so that the club doesn't waver and doesn't like sort of flop at the top. If that trail hand, it's too soft going up, and then you yank on it, well, all that's going to do is just going to pull the mass way too fast from the top and you get this sort of like bounce at the top. And it's really hard to control not only the shaft pitch, but the club face at that point in time.
How would you sort of wrap this up for people as they, you know, there's a lot of conflicting data out there right now. I think there's a lot for us to continue to learn. And I think the cool thing is, you know, guys like Liam Mucklow and Sasho and, you know, Dr. Standiford, all these people are really kind of continuing to try to put more data out there so we know. Companies like Sensors Edge, I think hopefully the product continues to get better and more accessible. How would we wrap this up for the average golfer that's listening to this? Would we simply say, stop trying to hold it like a baby bird? Or like, what would we say?
I would say squeeze it harder at setup.
Yep.
But don't let the tension, we didn't talk about this, don't let the tension go above kind of your wrists.
Love that.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
We're just at the start of this. So, Jason, where do we go from here?
Yeah, I mean, like Tyson said, I mean, I'd love for more of that tech. I'd love to get my hands on that and test it. I'm sure they're doing it every day, which is awesome. And we can only benefit from it the more information we can get out to coaches and then from coaches to golfers so they can play better golf.
Love that. I think, guys, this is another subject that, like a lot of our podcasts, we could talk for hours on because it is very detailed and a lot of different things that we could get into. But as always, I always enjoy the conversation. Appreciate people listening. Make sure you share this with a friend.
And remember, you can find us on all social medias at The Spin Axis, and you can find us online at thespinaxis.com.
Grip it and rip it.